Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Tennessee Titans and free agency coming up next week. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2 to the program. Corey, how are we doing, man? What's going on?
I am delightful today. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Delightful is always good. And, Corey, we've been talking a lot this morning about Jonnu Smith. Right now the Titans have a decision to make when it comes to Jonnu Smith. The tag at the moment deadline is tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Now, there is some discussion that if a salary cap number doesn't come today, maybe the NFL has to move the deadline to franchise tag players back from tomorrow. But We'll see what happens on that front. But Corey, as you look at Jonnu Smith, what he means to this Titans offense and what his potential cost could be, how would you handle that if you're the Titans? Would you consider maybe a transition tag as well?
Well, I mean, look, I would certainly consider the transition tag over the franchise tag. I mean, I like Jonnu Smith. I'd like for Jonnu Smith to still be a member of the Titans. I think he brings some unique elements to them with his explosiveness and, you know, athleticism at the position. But we're still talking about a guy, and it may be no fault of his own, but we're still talking about a guy who's never had 500 yards receiving in a season. All right? We're not talking about Travis Kelce or George Kittle here, or, you know, a guy who's been anywhere close to. He hasn't been Delanie Walker to this point. Now, have we seen him get a ball out of the backfield and go 20, 30 yards and take a screen pass and go 60? Yeah, we have. We've seen him do those things. But do we see him do it consistently? No. Now, is that a product of the offense, a product of where the Titans value the position in the offense right now? Or is it a point of where he is at? But, you know, you're talking about a guy who's, you know, 500 yards is 33 yards a game. Okay, so are you going to pay $8.5 million plus to a player who's never averaged more than 33 yards per game for a season? Now, I know last year he lost productivity when Taylor Lewan went down, and he probably would have topped 500 yards. But all I can go by is what he has done and what he hasn't done, and that there's a salary cap. Okay, as I always say, it's not the best 53; it's the best 53 under the cap. And if you're only going to throw this guy the ball enough for 440 yards a season, I don't know how you justify that expenditure when you could throw it to Anthony Firkser. I mean, if you ask me, hey, if you put Anthony Firkser out there at tight end, could he catch 60 passes in a year? I'd say, yeah, I think he can. And he can do it a lot cheaper. Now, is he as explosive as Jonnu Smith? No, he's not. But he fits under the cap better.
Okay, well, I'll counterpoint you here, but he's not really a every down inline tight end, and I think Jonnu Smith is a big part
of that.
No, right. But I'm just saying in terms of just, you know, keeping Jonnu Smith, and I hear you on production, and maybe I'm a little biased by just the plays we see him make, but I do think that this offense, as constructed, as built around Derrick Henry, needs a guy just like him and needs to pay a guy just like him. And if they lose him, you know, I feel like you are diminishing yourself in both aspects of the offense, and then I don't know who the replacement is. I feel like it's easier to replace, if we're talking about those three guys, Jayon Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, easier to find replacements for the other two than it is for Jonnu.
Well, I've been here since 2003, Joe, and in that time – finding one wide receiver has been nearly impossible.
That is true. They got one, though. They got one.
They've got one. And you know what? They've actually got two. And it wouldn't hurt to hold on to two. And, you know, as I say, you know, you talk about, you know, replacing Jonnu. I think it's easy to replace 450 yards at that position. I don't think it's that difficult. Now, again, I agree with you. He offers you some unique skills and allows you to do some different things. And if there's $208 million cap, this isn't a conversation for me. I'm like, yeah, absolutely bring it in. I'm trying to find a way for the Titans to get in under the cap, because right now they're about $10 million under, we think, somewhere in that ballpark. And if you sign Jonnu at $10 million, some people have got to go, okay? So you've got to trade one for the other. And Corey Davis is gone at that point. So you're saying, we're because I don't think there's any way they can bring back both of them and still address some of their other needs. So, you know, you got to start deciding who else goes, because your cap situation is at zero then, and you've got a draft class and you've got other needs. Now, I think the Titans are going to do a lot of discount shopping in free agency, because discount shopping is going to be massive for everyone, I think. But, you know, if you go to beat the market on Janu and spend that much money, I think, you know, at that position and what you get out of it, I think it hamstrings you some.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Corey, with free agency getting closer and taking place next week, this could be an eventful week across the league in terms of maybe some guys on contracts currently getting cut or getting restructured, whatever the case may be, depending on team from team. As you look specifically at the Titans, how eventful do you think this week could be in that regard, maybe with some cuts taking place, maybe a guy like Kenny Vaccaro potentially being at the top of that list?
Well, I mean, look, guys, it's going to happen. I mean, from what, you know, John Robinson's saying, he hasn't talked to anybody, I guess, about extensions yet. And I don't blame him for not wanting to do extensions, because look at where the Saints are, $60 million over the cap. I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, I looked at their roster. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it. And you don't want to be in that position. And so, you know, he may do one, or, you know, one and a small one, you know, of an extension, but cuts are coming, guys. There's no way around it. I mean, and to me, Kenny Vaccaro is the no-brainer. And that's not because I don't like Kenny Vaccaro, but it's just what they have to replace him, how much they can save, where he's at in his career. I mean, that's, you know, it starts there. And then you've got to figure out probably one of your two corners, and then probably somebody on your offensive line. I mean, they've got to create space. All right, and not a little bit. They've got to come up with a bunch. You know, they got a draft class to sign. They've got three big-time free agents if they want to save any. And they've got massive holes on the other side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball, that they've got to get fixed. And like I said, there's going to be discount guys to shop for, because I don't expect, you know, John to plunge into free agency on day one, because it's really expensive on day one. But I also think there's going to be a bigger pool of players, and they're going to include some Tennessee Titans. And I expect players we don't expect to get cut all over the league to be in that pool. And I think there's probably going to be one or two from the Titans that we are a little surprised about. But, you know, they're going to have to do to get where they need to go. You have to be under the cap. It's not an option. And I've talked about this for weeks now. Fans always tell me, well, you know, look at the Eagles, look at the Chiefs. You know, they always find a way. Well, look at the Saints. They always found a way, another $60 million over the cap. And some of these other teams are in cap jail right now, too. The Chicago Bears are in a horrible position with the contracts that they put together. And, you know, everybody's talking about franchising Allen Robinson. How are they going to franchise Allen Robinson? They don't have the space to do that. I don't know that they have the capacity to create the space to do that. And so, you know, the cuts are coming.
See, it's always good when we get you a little fired up about the Bears.
Sure is.
Talk about the Eagles. I mean, people point to them. Talk about a team that's in trouble, you know, because of all the things they've done, too.
Well, the Eagles always find a way. Look at where they are now. They're in jail.
Yeah. They got the trophy, you know.
They did.
They got one, but no, they're in trouble. Okay, so, and I agree, this week is going to be crazy. There's going to be names. I think very possibly names on this team, and certainly names on other teams that we're going to be like, wow, really?
You know, the exciting thing is, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no problem.
You know, I made this comparison the other day. It's going to be like shopping at Marshall's, because when you go to Marshall's, whose clothes are you really buying? You're buying Macy's and Dillard's. You're buying high-end clothes. You're just getting them at a discounted rate, okay? So I think NFL free agency is going to be a lot like a massive trip to Marshall's. There's going to be a lot of high-end merchandise, but it's available at a discounted rate.
I like that analogy.
That's good.
It makes me think of also like the Sears catalog, you know, picking Jeez. Out.
No, we're not going to Sears.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
we're not buying. We're not buying a pair of tough skins.
Oh man, I was just gonna say tough skins.
You're still buying.
You're reading my mind.
You're still buying Calvin Klein or Levi's. All right.
Yeah. Or even Jordache. So, all right. So let's on another GM side of things. Let me ask you this one. Let's put you in the John Robinson chair. When the decision comes up on Rashawn Evans' option, where are you leaning on that one?
That's not even a conversation. Okay. I mean, what's the number for that?
I think it's around 10, isn't it?
I think it is okay. Around 10.
I like Rashawn Evans, all right? But can you replace him at a much lower number than what he's given you?
Yes.
Okay.
Last year, right. For sure, yeah.
Yes. And like I said, I like Rashawn Evans. But again, it comes down to numbers. You can't just give guys contracts that blow up your cap because you like him. Now, if you want to give him 4 years and you want to give him $10 million up front and spread it out and, you know, work out a deal that pays him, you know, $6-7 million per, I could get on board with that and, you know, pays him like $5 million this year or next year. Whatever you need to get you through, I get that. But, I can't justify paying him that much money because I know I can replace him. You know, how easily replaceable is that position? And middle linebacker, I think we've seen over the years, was one of the more easily replaceable positions on the football field.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, helping us break down the Tennessee Titans. Going to be a fascinating week coming up this week in the NFL. Corey, appreciate you taking time to join us. Great stuff as always.
All right, thanks a lot. Fun Preds game, by the way, last night.
Yeah, it
was. Heart attack in the third. But, man, Pecorine, just adding another highlight to the legacy.
Paddle save was something else.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll continue the Titans discussion and get your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. How would you handle Jonnu Smith moving forward? Would the transition tag be an option? Would you sign him to a multi-year deal? All of that on the table. And we'll also get into the receiving position as well, and maybe a guy with local ties that could be a part of the Titans discussion as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning talking Titans and free agency coming up. We'll take your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Also have Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us at 9:30. So looking forward to that conversation coming up. But, Joe, we spent a lot of time talking about Jonnu Smith today. But even if Corey Davis is back, still some decisions to make at wide receiver for the Titans. Adam Humphries is gone, so that leaves a hole at the slot position. Now, maybe you address it by just simply bringing Anthony Firkser back and he becomes a glorified slot receiver like he was at the end of last season with Adam Humphries out of the lineup. But a guy that's been, I guess, linked to the Titans as of late by some fans has been Golden Tate, most recently with the New York Giants. Obviously, some local ties here as well, playing high school football at JP2 here locally. Do you think that's a route maybe the Titans should consider? And it was interesting. Like, I saw Chris Harris from WSMV last night was tweeting, and I guess somebody on Twitter asked Chris Harris about Golden Tate. And if he could become a Titan, Golden Tate liked the tweet. So you know how much we like to pay attention to people liking tweets, whether it's Hugh Freeze or Golden Tate. Lots of attention paid to that here on this program.
So you actually you found this out on your own that Golden Tate liked?
Well, Chris Harris tweeted a screenshot of Golden Tate liking said tweet.
Oh, I see.
So I did not go out and actively search.
So Chris Harris,
for Golden Tate's like tweets.
Chris Harris is the Columbo in this situation.
That is correct.
Okay, well done, Chris Harris. Yeah, well, maybe that tells you something. I mean, I think with Golden Tate, it's very much about cost. And you know, if you can get Golden Tate, what was his 4 year? I mean, he had a pretty substantial deal with the Giants. 4 year, $27 million, whatever it was, or was it 4 year, 36, something like that?
I think it was 4 years, 37.5.
Okay, you know, that's a lot, and obviously that's why he's out there. And it's tough with him because I feel like he's been banged up and he hasn't, you know, he's, I mean, he's getting up there a little bit. He's going to be 33 years old before the season starts.
Yeah.
You know, he's logged a lot of miles in this league. He's been a very good player. He did. I mean, again, he's not that far removed from really being, I mean, with the Lions, you're talking four straight 90-plus reception seasons, including a 99 for 1331, okay? And then a 90, a 91, a 92. He's slowed down, but even again, like if you got 2019 with the Giants, with a terrible Giants team, Golden Tate, 49 catches, 676 yards, and six touchdowns, that's good.
Pretty good.
I mean, he's a talented guy. How much does he have left, and how much will it cost? And is it because of where he is in his career at this point, is there a little bit of a hometown discount you could get for him to play for a contender, a good team, a division-winning team in the AFC in his home?
No state income tax here, you know.
No state income tax. See, all the things line up together. I mean, I think certainly Golden Tate's worth exploring. And it's just – so if we talk about, but like if you prioritize to me, we've talked about Marvin Jones a lot, and we're talking here certainly in the case of Corey Davis moving on. You know, if that's the case, like I would rather pay Marvin Jones $6-7 million a year than Golden Tate. Even though Golden Tate goes right into that spot vacated by Adam Humphries, that's exactly what he is. I still think I would rather pay the younger, bigger, more physical outside guy if I had to make a choice.
Joe, a question we've been tossing around for the last hour here on the show and on our Twitter question, poll question of the day, at 1025 The Game on Twitter. What would be your approach with Jonnu Smith as we get closer to the franchise tag deadline scheduled to come up tomorrow? Now, there was a tweet earlier about 35 minutes ago from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, basically saying like if news doesn't come pretty quickly today on exactly what the NFL salary cap number is going to be, maybe the franchise tag deadline gets pushed back a little bit. Because obviously, like, if you don't know exactly what the cap is going to be, maybe that affects your decision on what you do with the franchise tag if you're some teams around the league. So it'll be interesting to see if there's some news shortly on the exact number of the salary cap. But either way, the Titans are going to have a decision to make on Jonnu Smith. And the options on the poll question are this. Would you transition tag Jonnu Smith, franchise tag, give him a multi-year deal, or let him walk? 32% say multi-year deal, 28% say franchise tag. It's gone up to 20% that say let him walk, and now 20% at transition tag as well. So the transition tag and let him walk both equal at 20%.
Too high. Too high on the let him walk to me. Got to try. You got to try, I think. And, you know, Corey Curtis, he made some fair points. You know, if you just go by you're paying for what in production, I think he's a guy who's going to have several years of more production. I do. And I think that next year could be that year if it worked out for him, and he's got a lot left in the tank. And to your point there, Dan Graziano here just tweets out, you know, the NFL and NFLPA is working on the cap, and the union wants to wait until the TV deals are finalized, which totally makes sense.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, if those TV deals are finalized and that can come back and push this up a little bit, that's to everyone's benefit. But really, like, it should be to everybody's benefit if that can happen. Like, the teams have got to prefer that too, right?
Yeah, you would think so.
So if that's the case and they can't get it figured out and it ends up being a few more million dollars, that's worth pushing back this deadline.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew texts in and says, how much did LaJuan's injury hurt Smith's yardage and production that we were talking about with Corey? I mean, we'll never know, I guess, the exact answer to that. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy that was catching touchdowns left and right early on in the season. I don't know if he would have gotten to, you know, like 1,000 yards or anything like that, but probably 600-700 yards for Jonnu Smith if he's able to run route. Like, how many times last year did we talk about the Titans are basically running like two-man routes right now with Corey Davis and A.J. Brown just based on the protection situation? And we talked about an article last week from Pro Football Focus that ranked the Titans' pass protection at 28th in the league when they graded it out. And obviously, Taylor Lewan's injury hurts that a great deal. I don't know exactly what his production would look like, but I think it's obvious and fair to say that with Taylor Lewan healthy, Jonnu Smith has a better season from a production standpoint than he ended up having.
Yeah, I mean, I've done this math before, okay? Written it, so I'm going to do it again, though, live, because it's worth doing. Now, again, you don't know just because someone's on a certain pace that this is exactly how it's going to play out. But if you project, you know, the pace that he was on, you're talking about 64 catches. You're talking about here I am doing math. This is really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, that can't be right, is it? Is that right?
What is it? Say 1,200?
8,200. Yeah, I mean, you know, he was on a pace. He was only on a pace, I guess, for about 440 yards, which, you know, isn't big. But he also had a bunch of touchdowns too. So, how many touchdowns? Well, he had. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong. Geez, my gosh, I've totally botched this. I just went with his last four games. The number is much bigger. In fact. Yeah, I know. Well, this is, you know, this is listing it the wrong way.
I know.
All right, I'm going
to
get you.
If you like to
numbers.
Publicly shame people, you can. You're yes. Just going to keep it in house. Okay, there you go.
Well, oh, it's Pro Football Reference.
Okay, there you go. All right,
thanks a lot, Pro Football Reference. Okay, so he was on 800 yard pace. Yeah, technically 804 yard pace.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, with five touchdowns in the first 4 weeks. So again.
That probably slows down at some point.
Yeah, he probably wasn't going to get 20 touchdowns, okay? But he was also on a pace for, here we go, look at me doing math, 108 catches. So, you know, 100 catches, 800 yards, 20 touchdowns. Of course he wasn't going to do that. But, man, he was absolutely tremendous. Again, 4 for 36 and a touch first game. Go to Jacksonville, 4 for 84 and 2. 5 for 61 at Minnesota, and then 5 for 40 against the Bills with another two touchdowns. And then you go to the next game. Lewan gets hurt. He has a catch for 13 yards, and it's just like a catch, two. I mean, it's you can't tell me that there wasn't a huge impact. And like Arthur Smith, we probably asked him how many different ways about that. And, he's not going to give you the straight answer on that, but it's obvious. It's obvious when you watch them play how much Jonnu Smith was all of a sudden being left in on passing downs.
Yeah, I mean, it was clear. And obviously for his sake, both the timing of becoming a free agent with the offseason that we're in, with the restrictions that are in place, and also Lewan's injury, like it wasn't great for Jonnu Smith in terms of the circumstances that have happened. Maybe that helps the Titans. Like, maybe you get him at a cheaper rate than you otherwise would have. To your point, like, I think teams around the league who have done their homework realize how physically gifted he is and what a player he could be. If everything works out and people stay healthy and he's allowed to run routes that he was running to begin last season. So, I am very fascinated to see how the Titans handle this as we move forward here. And we're not that far away from hopefully finding out here in the next week and a half. So, we'll continue to have a discussion about the Titans when we come back. Get your reaction as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase. Also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties. He will join us at 9 o'clock coming up here on the show. We'll get into the latest with the Preds with him. A big win for the Predators in a shootout. They hold on against the Dallas Stars last night. We'll talk more about that coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe, right now talking NFL free agency and the Titans, as well as the salary cap. A lot of holes to fill and a lot of decisions to make for teams around the league. With that in mind, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan texts in and asks, because of the big-name cuts that are expected this week, does this make a team like Jacksonville a more dangerous team if they spend the money properly? Now, as we know, Jacksonville, they've got a ton of cap space. Last time I looked, it was somewhere around the $85 million worth of cap space that the Jags have. Does this make them maybe more dangerous? An opportune offseason for the Jags under the first year of Urban Meyer's leadership.
Yeah, and it also means they could totally screw it up.
Which they tend to do.
As they've done before. But it's interesting. I mean, you bring in Trevor Lawrence, as we expect, despite all this Zach Wilson love flying around. And
who knows? Maybe they bring in Zach Wilson.
Maybe they do. Maybe that's what Urban's plan
was all along.
The combo
of Mahomes and Rodgers.
Urban's like, you know what? You get Zach Wilson on my strength program, and we will turn him into a monster in this league. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's interesting. Like, it's, you know, I would think that they would be careful and would sort of be looking at this, like, you know, long-term situation. Obviously, if you can find some good deals to lock up long-term, great, and you can do more of that than other teams. But also, it's not a bad thing to roll cap over and, you know, wait until you are in a position of, you know, spending and adding the 3-4 pieces you need to really be a contender. They're so far away right now. But maybe they'll go out there and just spend. Not many teams can do it right now.
I can't wait to see what this offense looks like under Urban Meyer. Like, obviously, with Trevor Lawrence, you would think coming in, I mean, they still got some work to do with pieces around him, but I'm just very fascinated to see what this offense in Jacksonville is going to look like, and really as a whole, like how Urban Meyer is going to handle this. Because if it goes the way that we think it's going to go, and this is a struggle for him to build it back up, and like you're not expecting Jacksonville to go, you know, 12-4 next year and end up in the playoffs. Like this is going to be a process, you would think. How patient is Urban Meyer going to be? Like he's not had to do this. He has come in at Florida and at Ohio State and immediately has been successful. How patient is he going to be in this process?
Right.
I'm fascinated to see that.
Yeah. He went to Bowling Green and immediately turned them around, and not in a league where he certainly didn't have any sort of, you know, massive advantages over the other programs. He went to Utah and won, so he's done it where he wasn't at a place there. You just pick your talent and it's better than everybody else. But it's been a long time since he's had a situation like that. You know, Florida, Ohio State, he had better players almost every time out. He's a guy who really hates to lose. I mean, that's anybody who knows him. I mean, he's absolutely as competitive and intense as anyone. So throw a couple 5-11 seasons in there, and how's he doing? I mean, I think that's as big a question as anything. I agree. His offense is also a big question. But just him and how he handles what is going to be a lot of losing, unless we're underestimating
him. Maybe so.
Trevor Lawrence is a rookie and all that stuff. They're going to lose a lot of games this year. So how does he handle that?
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fred in Ashland City texts in and asks, what were Joe's thoughts on Coming to America? Did you get that done this weekend?
I did not. Gosh, you know, not only did I not get that done, we didn't watch the WandaVision finale either. You guys watch WandaVision?
I haven't started it yet.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking
good.
I've
been chastised for not starting it yet by everyone on Twitter. But
it's really good.
Yeah.
But we didn't and haven't watched Coming to America yet. So
I've not heard good things.
I've heard mixed bag. Seems like the reviews have been sort of lukewarm. It sounds like it's one of those things where there's enough, you know, nod to the original that it's fun, but you know, it was never going to be as good.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's one of my all-time favorite movies, and it should be everyone's on everyone's short list of
all-time favorite.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty good.
I love Coming to America 1.
Sometimes you just leave things alone.
Yeah. And you know, that's true. But you know what? There's plenty of great movies that have bad sequels, and to me it doesn't ruin the original.
No.
I mean, Godfather 1 and 2. Godfather 2 is probably the greatest sequel ever. Godfather 3 is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Whatever. The first two are still what they are. So I'm fine with them taking a shot at it. It's good to see Arsenio. Like, it's been decades.
Yeah.
Like, Arsenio, you know, now I'm old enough to remember his show, which you guys would not be. But I think he's hilarious. Like,
he
was hilarious in Coming to America, and, like, there's nothing else for Arsenio. I don't get it.
Fred, we'll keep you updated on the Coming to America review once Joe Rexroad has some time to watch it.
I'm hoping this week. I'm hoping this week for sure.
You said lukewarm as the reviews, as how they've been used to describe that. Maybe how you use the word to describe the Predators weekend as well. It was rough.
There's a transition.
On Saturday. It was a pretty good transition on my part. Rough on Saturday against the Florida Panthers. It looked pretty good for a while last night, especially special teams. I mean, power play was rolling along for the Predators last night against Dallas. They blow a three-goal lead in the third period and are able to get back in there in overtime. They hold on. It was a weird overtime. There weren't a whole lot of chances, but it was just nonstop play. I think there was one whistle in overtime. You get to the shootout, and they get it done. I thought an important win to stick with it and get it done in the shootout. What did you think of the Predators as a whole this weekend when you factor in the win last night in Dallas? And also, I thought, a pretty awful performance on Saturday against Florida.
Yeah, taken all together, it wasn't very good. They at least should have. I mean, they got the 2 points. They let the Stars get the point. That shouldn't have gone to overtime. Pretty bad Saturday. Just another glaring look at how far they are from the top teams that they're playing against, and probably other top teams around the league. I liked what I saw and heard out of Roman Josi. I think that, to me, the two positives out of the weekend are that I like that Roman Josi is almost swearing in a press conference. He got the F and the U out. And then also I like that we could read his lips last night and he actually said the word.
Well, that happens a lot, yeah.
Yeah, but I guess
that's a hockey thing.
Sure, but I don't remember seeing it too much from him. You know, maybe I'm glossing it over.
It takes him a lot to get him frustrated. But when you get boarded up against the wall and you're bleeding all over the place, that probably would frustrate me too.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe they didn't call that last night.
No.
They called two boardings in the game prior to that, and then he gets boarded. And by the way, just won the Norris Trophy. So, like, maybe a guy like that gets the benefit of the doubt on the call a time or two.
You've seen it before.
I've seen it before. He got boarded right in front of the official where the puck was. Nothing. No call.
Yeah, so he had a right to be mad about that, but I think he's mad about just things in general. So I thought that was good, and then I thought the other positive is Tolvanen. You know, Tolvanen is fun to watch right now. Tolvanen's worth the price of admission. When they're on a power play, you want to watch the power play because he's lethal, and they are really producing at a high level in the last few weeks with him featured. So if you want to compare this team to previous teams that were actually competitive and had a chance and were in the playoffs, this team does have a much better power play right now than the team in 2018-19 at any point.
Yeah, that's for sure. And like Tolvanen has come in and like single-handedly changed the power play. I mean, I think Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports put this up last night, and they had a power play later in the game, so the percentages went down. But after the goal by Tolvanen last night, which was an absolute rocket, by the way. I think the power play is clicking along somewhere like near 27% since he's come in, which is really, really good. I mean, I think that'd be right around fifth in the league right now. So he's come in, and they just got some options now on the power play. I mean, think about how bad their power play was to begin this season. I think at one point it was like 29th, 30th in the league. They've gotten it up to 18th at 20%, 20.2% on the power play. Tolvanen has been a weapon in that area. I mean, Forsberg, obviously, he's now at more than a point per game play pace, so he is playing extremely well. But that shot last night from Tolvanen, and again, I am not comparing the players, but that shot was like an Alex Ovechkin shot last night. It was a absolute annihilation of a hockey puck.
So, all right, headline. Robbie Stanley says Ellie Tolvanen equals Alex Ovechkin.
Alex Ovechkin, yeah.
Or the little symbol where, like, greater than?
Greater than Ovechkin.
Possibly better than, yes.
Is that what we'll see this week at thegamenashville.com with your Stanley's shots?
The number one thing on the board.
You better lead with that.
Tolvanen, greater than Ovechkin.
That should be the headline.
Yeah, should be.
I agree. Get some clicks.
Yeah.
No, I agree. That shot was insane. I mean, and he's fun. He's fun to watch. It's fun to see someone who, again, not long ago, what were we talking about? Oh, is this guy ever going to figure it out at 21 years old, which is funny anyway. And now watching that happen, it's one of the few bright things about this team right now.
We'll continue the Predators conversation on the other side of the break and ask the question, how close could they be to making some changes to this roster? Maybe even via trade. We'll discuss that when we come back. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to help you continue the tradition with a hockey home-gating party, and it's time to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Home Gate. You can watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Just text the word PREDS to 615-737-1025. That's PREDS to 615-737-1025. Now to enter. The winner will be contacted on Thursday, and you must be 21 or older to enter. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
So now it's Roman Josi who could end it here. Josi breaks in, left side, Deeks. He slides it home with a backhander. And the Predators win it in the shootout. They take the game by a final score of 4-3.
We didn't like our last couple of games. We didn't get the results that we wanted. Tonight we found a way to win. We got off to a good start. They made a push. You know, I think there's certain things we can handle it a little bit better. But you find a way to win and you get the 2 points. That's the most important thing. And, you know, like everything, you got to get better when you win. You got to get better when you lose. So I think we'll enjoy this one tonight, and then we'll move on to Carolina.
A 4-3 shootout win for the Nashville Predators last night against the Dallas Stars. They begin an 8-game road trip with 2 points in a place that's been difficult for 2 points to come by as of late in Dallas.
These days, those points are not as hard for opponents to come by.
Dallas drops to 2-7-4 in their last 13 games. So some issues going on right now with the Dallas Stars. And you talk about the Predators being in a tough spot. Right now, Dallas is getting close to the point, albeit they played in 5 fewer games than the Predators have. So I guess still more time to dig out of it. They're getting close to the point where they may start to have to pull in the plug on this season as well. So tough times for the Dallas Stars. Just one season after making it to the Stanley Cup Final, and they've got some injury issues and some more issues on the injury front cropping up for the Predators over the weekend as well. Now, we talked about, as Joe Rexrow continues to be violent to his microphone out there.
What is happening with me?
Oh, this is your body. I can't control it. I don't know what's going on over there.
For
just
some
keep
reason.
Punching the mic.
Like, but it's like from the back. Like I'm, you know, like my thumb's hitting it as I bring my hand toward me.
Boy, do you think we'll ever reach a time where Rexrow doesn't have like microphone issues, whether it's muting himself or punching it or whatever it goes?
I don't know, but I think he's inspired right now by the beating that Roman Josi's been taking.
Yeah.
I mean, he is abusing the microphone like opponents have been abusing Roman Josi in the last week.
Will the microphone start swearing at me?
Maybe so. You keep hitting it. I think everything's on the table.
Hopefully you have the mic on mute when it starts swearing at you.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case, for sure.
That would be, a good muting.
Yes, it would.
Maybe Ryan Johansson will come save the day.
That's all he did last night. Nice cross
check. I like that penalty, you know? I mean, sure.
It ends up in the back of your net, but sure.
Yeah, it hurt the team. But you know what? At some point, get angry and hit somebody.
Yeah.
Retaliate.
I agree. It was nice to see some retaliation.
He stood up for a teammate.
He did. So we've been talking about wanting to see more of that from this group. We can't complain about it once it happens. So Ryan Johansson sticking up for his captain last night. And thankfully, Roman Josi not hurt for the Predators. They've had some bad luck on the injury front as of late. We talked about Ryan Ellis last week. We talked about Luke Cunningham. UC Saros obviously injured as well. Well, now Matt Duchene out for the next 3 to 5 weeks. It coming out on Saturday that he will miss the next 3 to 5 weeks with a lower body injury. Took the, cross-check to the back on Thursday against Florida. Had one shift in the third period. Came back out, tried to test it a little bit later during a TV timeout. And it was a no-go, and now obviously 3 to 5 weeks, a fairly serious injury on that front. And I get it. I mean, I saw this. I tweeted about it on Saturday, and the reaction was immediate and very predictable on Twitter, and that was, well, okay, what's the difference with Matt Duchene being out? He hasn't brought anything to the table all year. I get that there's frustration there. There's still a pretty gaping hole in the lineup without either Ryan Johansson or Matt Duchene in there. I realize that they have not been as productive as you need them to be.
Right. They're not playing as $8 million players, but you still don't really have replacements for them.
No.
So it still hurts your team a lot to miss either of them. Probably I'd still argue Johansson a little more, but this is not going to help the Preds make any kind of move here in the near term, not having Duchene in the lineup.
It's not. And now with the win last night, you've moved to 11-14 on the season. And it gets you asking the question, like, how close are they to maybe making some move, making some trades? I thought, honestly, Joe, after that game on Saturday, as ugly as it was against Florida, I thought maybe we'd be early this week when they start making some moves. And look, maybe they will. I don't know. I don't know what the timeline looks like for David Poile. But that was ugly on Saturday. And honestly, like, if you come back and lose that game last night after you're up 3-0 in the third period, like, if Dallas finds a way to win that game in the shootout, I mean, we could be having a conversation today about how maybe it's real soon that these moves start to come. Again, I don't know what the timetable looks like for David Poile, but I did have a question cross my mind on Saturday, and some fans have pointed this out on Twitter as well. Maybe did we see Matthias Ekholm's last game in a Predator sweater at home this past Saturday? They're not back home until March the 23rd when they take on the Red Wings. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I don't even know if the Predators are going to move on from him, but that did cross my mind on Saturday when they left the ice.
If my called shot is correct that he's going to the Flyers, then I think he'll still have home games to play.
Okay.
So if you trust me.
I trust you.
Well, as I rarely have bad picks. But yeah, if he's going to a Canadian team, that may be the case. That may be the case. I mean, that's, as we've talked about a ton, you got a sped up clock on those teams getting guys in for quarantine and all that stuff. So it's possible. And like you said, maybe they don't deal Ekholm. The whole hockey world expects him to be dealt.
Yeah.
He's the number one when you take everything into account. A lot of teams out there need a defenseman. He's a top-pairing defenseman on most teams in this league.
Yeah.
Right? And the contract is very attractive. So, but maybe the Preds decide, like, they just can't part with him. We don't know.
Well, I will say this. Like, I'm not saying that moves are, like, imminent at this point and that we're going to see something soon. But I do think we've reached the portion of the schedule where moves around the league, not just with the Predators, may start happening at any point. Like, you could start to see some movement. Like, there are some teams right now that are pretty clearly going in the wrong direction. Like, you look at the Buffalo Sabres right now, they're done. I mean, they've got zero chance whatsoever. The Sharks in San Jose, they have zero chance whatsoever. Detroit is in that category. Ottawa, certainly in that category as well. Vancouver is getting to the close to the point of being in that category also. Like, you're starting to see some separation around the league, and I think we are at the point where changes and trades may start to happen pretty soon with some regularity. And I'm not saying that necessarily involves the Predators right from the jump, but we've reached the point where I think certain general managers and teams around the league have probably seen enough, and they're open for business.
Jack Eichel, he going to be somewhere else? Is this it?
I don't know, man.
Is this the moment?
I would probably be surprised if that happens at the deadline. To me, that could be more of an off-season type move. Like, I mean, if you're the Sabres, you still have to think long and hard about moving on from that guy. I mean, he's still a really good player. I just wonder how much he's just beaten down by playing in Buffalo. Like, that franchise has been in rebuild mode for a decade, and they are getting worse. So I don't know. Maybe he, like, forces his way out. But
yeah, Buffalo and Detroit are the cautionary tales for all the Preds fans who are, like, so eager to be in the rebuild. Not that they're wrong, but it can go poorly. Yeah. And again, like, the Sabres got one of those guys who was supposed to be the benefit of rebuilding, and it still hasn't mattered.
No, they've just been an absolute dumpster fire for a long time in Buffalo. So again, I don't know what David Poile's timeline is, but I do think we've reached the point around the league where you're going to start to see some moves coming pretty shortly, and I wonder if the Predators are part of that. We had a question earlier on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, asking, like, what the value could be in return for Ekholm. I think we've talked about a first-rounder, a prospect being involved at least. I think you might be able to get a couple of prospects or a couple of picks out of Matthias Ekholm, given how good he is and the term left on his contract. I think Granlund, another interesting guy. I would say probably a second rounder for Granlund you could get back in return. There have been years where Granlund probably would have fetched a first round in return. I'm not sure that this is one of those years, but who knows? Maybe with the right team, he's worth a first round pick. If that's the case, you jump all over that if you're the Predators.
What's Granlund's attractiveness right now to teams as compared with Ryan Hartman's a few years ago when the Preds gave a first-round pick for him?
Paul Gostad. Yeah. Should be pretty high.
What did Hartman had? Hartman had what? He had a 20-goal year his rookie year? Is that what it was? Or early?
It was early, but he's playing with Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
I might be able to score six with Patrick Kane out there. I don't know. So there are some cautionary tales at the trade deadline, but maybe the Predators in a position this year to take advantage of one of those deals. We'll have to see how it shakes out here coming up down the stretch. And speaking of the Predators, we'll continue this conversation on the other side of the break. Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donica Chase, also handles the Predators' pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. He'll join us next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.